Chapter 4. Hiding in the Cave.
"Now we have protection, provisions and defenders," said Duncan cheerfully. "Whatever Montcalm tries, we are ready." Then he turned to Hawkeye and asked, "Did you see any Iroquois when you went out in the canoe?"
"No, but I know they are there," answered Hawkeye. "An Indian must be felt before he is seen. We must be careful not to give any sign that we are here. Wolves often stay near an encampment, hoping to find scraps of food. The Iroquois also know that the howling of a wolf means there are people and food nearby." Uncas now made a small fire and prepared food. Alice had the opportunity to see how handsome and strong the younger Mohican was. She turned to Duncan and whispered, "I cannot believe that such a fearless and generous man as Uncas could do the terrible things that we hear and read about."
"You are right about Uncas, but don't forget that noble qualities are rare in any race," answered Duncan. "It is the French and we English who have introduced one of the cruelest customs in this war, the taking of scalps. Both sides pay their Indian allies by the number of enemies they have killed. The scalps are cut from the heads of men, women, and children, both whites and Indians, for money. Much of the money is spent on whiskey, which is ruining entire tribes." At that moment, Chingachgook came out of the shadows behind them. He had come through another entrance at the back of the cave. Alice and her sister gave a cry of surprise. Hawkeye laughed. "Don't worry," he said. "Chingachgook, Uncas, and I are like good foxes. We won't be caught in a place with only one exit." When the food was cooked, everyone sat down to eat. Duncan was interested to see that Uncas tried to help the two sisters in small ways, although according to Indian custom, warriors do not do any type of work to help women. Duncan could also see that, while Uncas was kind to both women, he spent more time looking into the face of the older one, Cora, as she spoke. He also observed that the ladies were charmed by the deep, musical quality of Uncas's voice when he spoke to them. Chingachgook sat near the fire, and the sisters were now able to see that Uncas looked like his father under his war paint. They also noticed that Chingachgook often paused while eating and listened to some distant sound outside the cave. This reminded them that they were still in very real danger. Cora turned to Hawkeye and said, "Pardon me for asking so directly, but how is it that you have learned so much about Indian ways and even speak their language?" Hawkeye thought about her question for a moment before beginning his answer. "I suppose to ladies like you and your sister, it must seem strange. But my story is simple. My parents came to these new lands, and I passed my early years in the frontier settlements. My parents took land and cut and cleared the forest to make a garden. They both became ill and died when I was only 6 years old, and I was left alone in the forest. Chingachgook found me and raised me as his own son. He has been a father to me, and Uncas has been my brother. Chingachgook taught us about hunting and the forest and the wisdom of the Indians. When we were older, he sent us to a missionary school so that we could learn the language of the white man and his way of thinking. But in most things, I still think and act like an Indian." Hawkeye was also sitting next to David Gamut. When he had answered Cora, he started to talk to David for the first time. Hawkeye took out a bottle of whiskey, offered it to David, and asked, "What is your name, friend?"
"Gamut, David Gamut," answered the musician as he took the bottle and drank.
"It is a very good name," said Hawkeye. "I am an admirer of names, although I like the Indian fashion in names more. Indian names are more honest than ours and reflect the person's nature. Did you know that Chingachgook means the great serpent? It means that he understands the turnings of human nature. He is silent, and he attacks his enemies when they least expect it. Tell me, sir, what do you do in life?"
"I am a singing teacher for the young people in the settlements," answered David.
"Really?" exclaimed Hawkeye. "And can you shoot a rifle?"
"Thanks be to God, I have never used a murderous thing like a rifle," David answered.
"Perhaps you are good with a compass and maps?" asked Hawkeye.
"I don't know anything about them either," said David. "I have no profession or business except teaching sacred music."
"Why don't you sing for us now?" said Hawkeye. "It will be a friendly way to say good night, and these ladies must be very tired.
They will need strength for a long, hard journey to the fort in the morning.
I will happily sing, exclaimed David. It is right to praise God after a day of terrible danger.
Alice and Cora joined David as he sang a slow, solemn hymn. The others listened quietly. The song brought tears to Hawkeye's eyes as he remembered his days as a boy in the settlements. Suddenly, they were interrupted by an inhuman cry from outside the cave.
Was that the shout an Indian makes to frighten his enemies? Asked Cora.
No. When you hear that shout, you will never mistake it for any other sound, answered Hawkeye. Don't worry. Go deeper into the cave and try to sleep.
How can we sleep, knowing how worried Father must be? Asked Cora. It was selfish of us to try to visit him when there is so much danger.
He was pleased and proud when he heard that you were coming, Duncan assured them. But the rest of his speech was interrupted by the same horrible cry as before. Hawkeye went to the entrance of the cave as the others stood looking at one another in terror.